The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best, protect your skin. Visit ibkol.com to learn more. Good morning, and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on NPR's WLIW 88.3 FM and online at wliw.org/radio. And each show is archived on my website, annliguori.com, annliguori.com, and distributed on podcast. You can also watch my classic sports interview TV shows right on my website now, which I'm very excited to say. So at annliguori.com, there's a lot of information on there, and you can hear all these shows from in the radio archives, and you can even watch my TV shows with Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Will Chamberlain, Gordie Howe, just to name a few, all on my website at annliguori.com. Well, regular listeners to this show know that I'm a huge fan of golfing in Ireland. A lot of people ask me, you know, what are my favorite golf courses? And I immediately answer, any Lynx course in Ireland. I mean, I love golf in our country. I love the golf courses out here in the East End. We are just blessed with some of the top golf courses, really, in the country and in the world, really, right here in our backyard. I love the golf courses in the Northeast. I love the golf courses in the West, in the Northwest, in the desert, the Southwest, in the Midwest, in the South, all over. I just love playing golf, and I love experiencing new courses, and I really appreciate, you know, different golf course architects and the challenges of, you know, so many of the golf courses that we play all over the country. But I also love to play in Scotland, in England, Spain, Morocco, Italy, France, really all over. But the one golf destination that I keep going back to year after year is Ireland. The links and parkland courses are second to none. The attitude is so friendly. The hospitality is just over the top. It's just a wonderful place to go for vacation, whether you are a golfer or, you know, if you don't play golf. I mean, the castles, the manors, the quaint, charming villages, the exciting city of Dublin, the cathedrals, the pubs, the beauty of the rugged coastline, the Atlantic Way, the farms, the countryside. I just love driving the roads in Ireland. It's just such an adventure. You're driving on the left-hand side of the road. The roads are narrow. It's normally, you know, going through gorgeous, you know, country, farmland. And believe me, when signs that say, careful farm animal crossing, you got to be careful and you got to be alert, because that is certainly a place where oftentimes during the day, farm animals do cross. And that just adds to the charm of driving around Ireland and Northern Ireland. My memories of Ireland range from the grandeur of Adair Manor south of Limerick, which will host the Ryder Cup in a couple years, the class of Dromoland Castle, falconry at Ashford Castle, along with fly fishing and horseback riding and golfing there. Fun drives in the Southwest, you know, Waterville, Ballybunion, Tralee, up to Doonbeg, where I've been an honorary member along with my buddy Jim Nance since the day it opened, and serve on their advisory board. The historic Lahinch, up to the Northwest at Connemara, Carne in Balmullet, Inniscrone, Donegal. The county of Donegal has so many incredible golf courses. It's just a special place to vacation. Then you go up north to Ballyliffin and Royal Portrush, and you know, where they hosted the 2019 Open Championship that Irishman Shane Lowry won. And again, Royal Portrush will be the venue for the Open Championship in 2025. Royal County Down, historic Ardglass, where I'm an honorary member, proud to say. And courses around Dublin, including Portmarnock, the European Club, Pat Ruddy's Treasure, Mount Juliet, Druids Glen, the Island Club, just to name a few. I mean, the island has so much variety in terms of these golf courses and accommodations and restaurants, pubs, horse racing and scenic beauty. And, you know, normally when I go to visit, I pick a region, say Dublin and the surrounding area, the southeast, or go to the southwest by flying into Shannon Airport, or go up to Donegal and Northern Ireland and outside of Belfast, which is spectacular. I love that city. And then just kind of plan your trip around those certain regions. Well, the pandemic took its toll, but Ireland wants everyone to know that they are open for business. And this morning, we're going to talk about that. At the Ryder Cup in Whistling Straits, I had the opportunity to catch up with Catherine Martin, the Minister of Tourism for Ireland. In fact, her official title is Minister of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, the regions in Ireland in which the Irish language is the primary spoken language, sport, and media. She's a very busy woman and quite passionate about the golf in Ireland and everything else the Emerald Isle has to offer. I also talk with Alison Metcalf, the Executive Vice President, USA and Canada of Tourism Ireland, as we talk about top golfers coming out of Ireland, Rory McIlroy, Padraig Harrington, Graham McDowell, Darren Clark, Leona Maguire, the Solheim Cup rookie, who was unbeaten in her Solheim Cup debut in Europe's win over the U.S. And I also visit with Tom Coyne, best-selling author of A Course Called Ireland, A Course Called Scotland, and A Course Called America. He joins me, and he recently visited Ireland with actor, passionate golfer, Bill Murray. And he shares many stories from that trip and the courses he and Bill's family enjoyed playing. Lots of crack on that trip, I'm sure. Crack, of course, meaning good fun in Gaelic. Hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. My guest is Alison Metcalf, Executive Vice President of Tourism Ireland. And we're at Whistling Straits, overlooking a golf course that almost looks like we could be in Ireland. Alison, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Anne. Oh, it's a wonderful day here. The weather's also like you would expect to see in Ireland, too. Yes, yeah, fantastic to be here.
And it's great to see you. I haven't seen you in a while because of the pandemic.
I know, I think it's been about 18 months, and I think that this last week since Labor Day, everybody's getting, you know, out on the road again, and I think we're all enjoying seeing each other face to face. And, you know, Zoom was great, but it's just not quite the same. Is that no. I mean, I'm just delighted to be out here and really excited to see how the match is. You know, it's day one today, and we're obviously very excited to see. We're very few of us supporting Europe, I think, you know, obviously with the travel ban. So we're out supporting the European team and keen to see what the Irish players can do within that team. So.
Well, you know, when you talk about golf, I mean, the Irish have so many players represented and so many really wonderful things coming up on the Emerald Isle, right, as far as major championships. You have the British Open going back to Royal Portrush in 2025. You have the Ryder Cup at Adair Manor in 2027. And you have all these Irish players that are representing their country so well. What's with all the golf and all the Irish?
Well, as you said, it doesn't get any better. I mean, I suppose, I mean, if you look at Ryder Cup, we've obviously got, you know, Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy playing. You've got an Irish captain in Harrington. Graham McDowell is a vice captain. So there's a great start. And I think having the Open back to Portrush in 2025, we're delighted with that. It's actually sooner than we thought, but it was such a great success. We were both there in 2019, and I've no doubt that it will be bigger and better in 2025. Listen, I think... what is it with the Irish? Well, I think it's the golf. Golf courses, first and foremost. We've got, you know, more than one-third of the world's true links courses. So great golf. And I think also there's a lot of new courses as well to see. I mean, up in the northwest, when you've got a lot of investment in a new course, you've got the new St. Patrick's course. And I think it's the 19th hole as well. I mean, everybody has a great time. And I think that's when people come to Ireland, they know they're going to have a super experience on the course. But it's also the hospitality and the warmth of welcome and other things to do and see off the course. And I think... one final thing that we're really proud about is, I think, in terms of the women's game, I think, look at Leona Maguire with Solheim. Just look, as a rookie on that team, look at the contribution she made. I think the game is in great shape. Solheim was really competitive this year. And I'm delighted to see that Leona, I mean, people know who she is now. They know that she's a great golfer from Ireland. And I don't think many people knew that.
Yeah, for that young woman to go into her first Solheim Cup and play every single, you know, format and to go undefeated, that was quite a wonderful, Solheim Cup debut. And, of course, Europe beat the United States on American soil. So what a great representative for the women as far as, you know, we're talking about Padraig Harrington. We talk about Darren Clark. We talk about Rory McIlroy and Sean Lowry. But here's a woman from Ireland who's really shining over here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you said earlier, they're all great ambassadors for not only for Irish golf, but for Ireland as a whole. They're very proud of where they've come from. They've competed together very often as juniors, and then they make it onto the tour. Other women like Stephanie Meadows, originally from Northern Ireland, again, she's on the LPGA Tour. So I think they just, they're friendly. They're very proud of where they come from, and I think the connections between the U.S. and Ireland continue to prevail, and it comes through golf. And I think it's great this week just to see the European team, and particularly the Irish golfers, commenting on the success of the ladies at the Solheim, and thinking, okay, let's try and follow the girls, and let's try and get the job done, right?
Right, exactly. Well, that's a first, right? From the male point of view. Padraig Harrington has really impressed me as a Ryder Cup captain. I'm studying his preparation, his strategy, his, the way he's kind of gone about everything. And I just love the fact that they came out dressed in, the colors of the Green Bay Packers and with cheese heads on. Did you catch that story?
I did, and I just think that I think it's testament to the fact that I think he's got a very calm hand, and I think he's been a great captain. And I think they're just very in tune with the location and the sense of place of where they're playing here in Wisconsin. So I thought it was a really nice touch, I think that they're not going to get ahead of themselves. I think they're just going to go out there and try and do their best, and I think Parag, supported by some great vice captains, I think he'll do a great job. Yeah,
it's fun to see the difference perhaps in the attitude from the European team and the United States team. The European team comes in, they have a lot of fun, right? I mean, everybody's serious. Everybody really wants to win. But it's kind of fun to, and they also look at the Ryder Cup as it's like a major to these players in Europe and in the UK, right? In our country, I think winning a major championship is still more important than winning a Ryder Cup. But I think there's kind of like a different philosophy. Do you agree?
I think I do. I mean, and again, from limited experience, I'm not an expert on it, but I think as an observer, I think you're absolutely right. I think in Europe, I mean, there's a huge, the team spirit is very strong. And from a media perspective, I think that always comes across very strongly. And you're right. I think everybody, I mean, this weekend, whether you're sitting in Ireland or you're sitting in England or you're sitting in Italy or Spain or anywhere else, they're going to be watching the Ryder Cup, and they're all rooting for Team Europe. And I suppose, because it is Europe against the U.S., multiple countries within Europe, where obviously they're playing one single large country. So I just think that there's a great sense of camaraderie. And I think for a lot of them, the players are out there week in, week out, playing against each other. And I suppose it is a bit of a mindset change to then to play together. So I wish both teams the best of luck. And I just think, I hope it's competitive. I always think it's great if you can stay competitive to until Sunday. It just makes it so much more fun for the viewers and for all of us watching.
So I know that the United States is such an important market in terms of revenue for Tourism Ireland. And I read where the revenue generated by American visitors in 2019 was $1.6 billion. Can you make up for the years of the pandemic, do you think, in the future?
I think we can. I think we're under no illusion that it's going to be, a slow road to recovery. Obviously, we had such great growth before 2019, and a lot of that was driven by a huge increase in direct air access. So, air access and flights will come back as demand increases. And our job at Tourism Ireland, and right now, we feel the time is right to start to restart tourism. So, we're inviting people to press the green button. We're launching a new campaign next week in the U.S. A significant investment will be on television and across all digital and social channels. So I think, we feel confident that we will certainly be able to win business back. But I say it's about restarting first and really being very targeted in who we go after to try and bring business back. Cause it's such an important industry for the Irish economy. Supports over on the island 325,000 jobs pre-COVID. We know there's a lot of pent-up demand. We also know that people are looking to create vacations where they can spend time with their family and friends in welcoming and very familiar destinations. And we think Ireland offers a good fit for that. We know there's obviously strong bonds that connect the two countries. But I think the most important thing for us is we're just re-emphasizing it's the welcome. There's lots to do and see, and you know, beyond the history and the heritage and the culture and wonderful attractions, there's the great outdoors, there's golf obviously, but I think during the pandemic people have had a lot more time to engage in new activities, whether it's hiking, biking, sea kayaking, and Ireland offers a great variety of things to do, great for families, great for individuals, so we're really looking forward to rolling out the green carpet and really saying to everyone in the US, we've missed you, we want you to come back soon, And as that demand increases, I've no doubt that we'll see the flights returning. So we'll get back there. It's just a question of how long is it going to take and just restoring that consumer confidence.
And I know as far as tea times go, people who didn't get over last year or this summer really need to get on the horn and start booking those tea times in 2022 because so many people, the demand, I think, will be very strong next year.
Absolutely. I mean, as you rightly say, business from 2020 got transferred, and then obviously some of that's got transferred further into 2022. The good news is, though, Ireland opened up to vaccinated Americans on July the 19th, and there have been quite a lot of golfers going over. And I know in talking to friends of mine and industry colleagues over there, they're just loving hearing American accents in Killarney and, you know, in Waterville and up in Donegal and everywhere else and in Dublin too. So, yes, I would encourage people to book early. If you want to get on some of those trophy courses, I would look to book as early as you can. But there will be enough capacity for everybody, and particularly if you're going back and you want to play some of those lesser known courses. I think, you know, the golfers are going to be one of the first markets back, a very important market for us.
A dear friend of mine, Tom Coyne, the best-selling author, he recently wrote a course called America, but he did a book called A Course Called Ireland. He was over this summer, I read and saw, with none other than the actor Bill Murray. So that got a lot of attention.
It certainly did. And I think, you know, Bill obviously had a lot of fun playing golf. He was over with his family and they were filming. But I think, you know, he had as much fun from what I could see. And again, reading the press reports, he had as much fun off the course as he did on the course. So listen, a great ambassador for Irish golf. And as you said, Tom's book, A Golf Course Called Ireland, really talks to some of the, you know, the great courses and the great holes. But he talks about, you know, all the other great stories that and all the other things to do and see. As he walked around Ireland, I mean, several years ago, doing his research for that book.
Have you had a chance to play at all during some downtime?
I have, actually, yes. I managed to get over to see family the end of June, found that window in between all of the COVID pieces, and I did get to play when I was back home, and it was fantastic. Really well organized, and what I have to say is that, the courses, I suppose, sometimes we would just rock up and play, but no, you book tea times, it's all online, really easy to do. And I think you've seen, whether it's the golf courses or the attractions, they've all upped their game in terms of using technology, so you can, you know, you can pre-book your visit to an attraction, and obviously you would be booking your tea times, but when you're playing at a local golf course, sometimes when you're over, we would just sort of get up early and go over and see if we could get on the course, you have to book now, but yeah, it was very good.
So the courses, you know, everybody has heard about the Lynx courses and the Parkland courses. Talk a little bit about the accommodations, Allison, because there's so much variety there. You can go from an incredible castle to a manor to a B&B, and I just think that's so fascinating because your trip can be so varied, and there's so many different areas of Ireland as well.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you really can mix and match. So depending upon what kind of experience you want and how much you want to spend, you've got everything from the five-star castle hotels, Ashford, Dromoland, and others, right the way through to sort of small country manor houses, inns, bed and breakfast, and also private rentals. I mean, and I think that's one thing we have seen during the pandemic, an increase in demand for private rentals. And again, you could be taking a wing of a historic house. It can be a condo, it can be a beautiful manor house, it can be a lighthouse, it can be whatever. There's all sorts of really interesting accommodation, but the point is there's lots of it, there's a lot of great variety. And I think that's, you know, part of the experience if you're staying in a B&B or a guest house, or maybe one of the independently owned historic manor houses, a Blue Book property. They all offer a different experience. And also when people are planning trips, I think golfing trips, one thing that we always try and emphasize is that you don't have to be driving every day, you know, so you can base yourself in different regions. And with that, then you've got a different choice of accommodation. So whether you're basing yourself in Killarney or you're going to be basing yourself up in Sligo, if you want to the northwest, or up around Portrush, there's lots of different options. And again, if you're planning a trip, book early, because we do expect there to be a significant demand.
And here you are in the United States for one of your first trips as a tourism Ireland company trip, right, with the minister. And talk a little bit about this trip and what's yet on the agenda.
So, yeah, we're delighted to have Ireland's Minister for Tourism, Catherine Martin, with us. She's with us on a trip this week to the U.S. So we're in Chicago. We've had a couple of days in Chicago where we've been talking to our industry partners, to airlines, to tour operators, reminding them and telling them all about our new relaunch campaign. Minister's been updating the industry on the situation in Ireland. Ireland is open. It's literally about to relax its final restrictions. And also it's worth pointing out 91% of adults in Ireland are fully vaccinated, and I think that's really important when people are considering a destination and they want that confidence. So we've been spending time talking to the media and reminding people about what Ireland has to offer. We're here at the Ryder Cup, obviously I'm very excited about that, and with the Ryder Cup coming to Ireland in 2027, so we have 6 years to really promote that, and coming to Adare Manor and a beautiful part of the island. And then we're heading to New York in a couple of days' time to do another very busy program, talking to the media, talking to airline and industry partners. It's our business is all about partnership, and we're looking to support those businesses that are promoting Ireland and programming Ireland for golf and for other types of vacations. So we are hitting the restart button. We're asking people to press that green button and saying to them, have you booked your trip to Ireland yet, whether it's a golf trip or something else? And if not, we're looking forward to welcoming you as soon as possible.
Ireland is open for business. It's so great to connect with you again. Allison, I've missed you, and can't wait to get back over to the Emerald Isle.
Thanks. Always great to see you. Appreciate it.
Allison Metcalf, Tourism Ireland. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and my guest is Catherine Martin, the Minister for Tourism in Ireland, also culture, arts, sport, music, and is it Gaeltacht?
The Gaeltacht, yeah, and media.
And media, my goodness, you have a lot of responsibilities.
It's a busy brief, but actually it makes a lot of sense. All of those are very much connected. So, for example, the sport, for sport to work, sport's really important for tourism, and the arts and culture, too, have that element, too.
Well, welcome to Whistling Straits. Welcome here to the Ryder Cup. And I understand this is your first major in-person series of promotional events, you know, after the pandemic.
Yes, I'm over here with launching Tourism Ireland's Green Button campaign. So we're encouraging visitors from the US to press the green button and choose Ireland as a destination. We're open for tourism again, but it's absolutely fantastic to be here in Whistling Straits and cheering on the European team, and of course with an Irish person, Pádraig Harrington as captain, and Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy. I'm loving watching them and supporting them.
You know, golf is such a big deal in Ireland, and Americans love to go to Ireland to play golf, and I've been going for many, many, many years. How does golf fit into Ireland's 2022 plans and beyond?
Well, golf is huge. Golf tourism is massive worldwide, and, you know, I suppose Ireland is like a golfer's paradise. We have one-third of the world's golf links, and recently in Golf World Ranking, five Irish courses made the top 10, so it's absolutely huge. And I think in 2019, I suppose at the peak of tourism before COVID, we had I think close to 70,000 visitors from the US were there for golf, and why not, you know, on our island we have over 450 golf courses, so it's hard to avoid golf. I come from a family of golfers. My children are very envious that I'm here today and watching it closely on the screen at home.
So the importance of the US market for tourism in Ireland, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the US market, well, I think our two countries are inextricably linked. Anyhow, it goes without saying that close bond. So we're really looking forward to seeing visitors from the States to come over. But again, pre-COVID in 2019, we had 1.7 million US visitors came to Ireland. And the revenue that generated was $1.9 billion. So you can see how important it is. American visitors, when they come to Ireland, they do it right. And I think maybe that's because they keep coming back. They know what to do. They would on average stay at least 8 nights. And what's really interesting about the US visitor, and this is where I think they're doing it right, they move out of the urban centres. So they explore the cities, but then they move into the regions. And that's where like our real unique beauty and landscape is to be found. And that's why we love having them, because they spread out throughout the island.
They appreciate everything that Ireland has to offer, obviously. And to my favorite parts, I mean, you know, I'd like to recommend if you're going to, you know, the Southwest, kind of focus there for a few days and you know, play golf and stay in some of the gorgeous manors or castles. Then maybe go to the Dublin area. There's so much to see. Go up north, go to the Donegal area. I mean, you know, you can go for weeks and still not see everything.
Yeah, no, there's so much on offer. As I said, it's that unique and breathtaking scenery. It's our food that is, and we've wonderful food trails there. We're known for our warm welcome, which we call the Cade Mila Fáilte. There is the greenways for cycling, along Mayo, along the coastline, and down at Waterford, along the canal in Dublin too. We have our blueways and waterways. So for walking, for boating in the hidden heartlands, it's really spectacular. It's 9 counties that we're showcasing that hug the River Shannon. But again, for golfers to stay on theme for today, you know, if you were to work your way from the Royal Portrush, which of course this month has been announced we'll host the Open again, we look forward to that, over to Donegal, to Rosapenna, down to Sligo, Mayo, Mulrani, down Kerry and the Old Head in Kilsale, and of course Adair, where we'll be hosting the Ryder Cup in 2027. Absolutely magnificent old manor house set in 840 acres of beautiful Irish parkland. But the golf course, it's pristine, and it has the reputation, and rightly so, for its immaculate condition. It's Ryder Cup ready, today to be played. But obviously we need up until 2027 to get everything in place.
They call Adair Manor the Augusta of Ireland, Augusta National of Ireland. It is just so beautiful, and it is so pristine, and it's so, I can't speak highly enough about Ireland. I've gone many, many years. Tourism Ireland has been very involved with my television shows and my radio shows and promoting what they call hidden gems. But these hidden gems aren't hidden gems anymore. America knows about them.
Yeah, and that's because when they come on tour, they do it properly, and they have found the hidden gems, and they keep coming back for more. And rightly so. I think there's so much on offer. And as I said, we're so looking forward, and the clear message is, come to Ireland, press the green button, press go, and come back to us, and we can't wait to see you again.
You mentioned all the things that are going on in Ireland golf-wise. You have the 2027 Ryder Cup in Adair Manor. I just heard that Royal Portrush is going to get another major championship.
Yep, we're getting it in 2025. That was announced earlier this month, so really looking forward to that as well, to hosting that. And of course, next year in other sport, with the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. So it's a 5-game series over 5 years. And on August 27th, next year, 2022, in Dublin's Aviva Stadium, Northwestern will be taking on Nebraska to kickstart the college football season. And that is going to be fantastic. Again, when you're talking about tourism, we would expect at least 18,000 visitors from the States and fans to come over to that, 5,000 from Europe. There'll be 3 million live TV viewers from the USA as well. But the thing about that is, and you know from visiting Ireland, that's not a one-day spectacle for us. That's where Dublin will be alive and buzzing, and you'll hear the music, you'll get the laughter and fun, and the atmosphere will be electric for at least a week. So I highly recommend that as a sporting occasion too.
It's like the 19th hole, but for an extended period of time, right?
Yeah, we do the 19th hole in style.
So what, I know you just arrived here at Whistling Straits, but a lot of people say this course resembles an Irish Lynx course, and it seems like almost you're in Ireland, right? What are your initial thoughts here? What have you thought of the property and about the Ryder Cup being hosted here?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely loving it, and I've heard that, and I've heard it compared to European and even one particular one, Ballybunion. They've talked about the comparison to here. Look, it's absolutely breathtaking. As I look around here, as I'm chatting to you, it's just stunning. What an amazing setting for this wonderful spectacle that is the Ryder Cup that we all love so much. And you know, I'm here enjoying it, but also looking at the opportunities for us as we prepare for the Ryder Cup in 2027 in Adair.
And Catherine, what is it about the Irish, about sport? They love their sport, but in golf, Padraig Harrington, Darren Clark, Rory McIlroy, Sean Lowry, who won the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, then Leona Maguire, who went undefeated in her Solheim Cup matches, her debut here in our country. Europe won 15.
Passion and commitment, and we certainly have that in our golfers. But as I said, you know, with 450 golf courses on our island, and you know, it's hard to avoid golf, you know, so every family has an interest or are playing golf. As I said, my three young children are at it from the knee high, and it's not an elite sport, it's open to everyone, and they're brought up in it. And I think what's really important, you mentioned Leona Maguire there, because I feel it as a woman in politics, but women in sport, it's really important. So what Leona Maguire did, there is that phrase, young women can't aim to be what they cannot see. Well, Leona Maguire did it in style at the Solheim, didn't she? And it was, you know, it was heartening to hear Rory McIlroy and Shane talk about her and the inspiration she is for the European team this week, you know. And that's really important too. So it's thriving, and you know, for the Ryder Cup, I think we really get the team spirit, and we, you know, for an individual sport, but that's what's really quirky about the Ryder Cup, isn't it? You have these like professional golfers who are used to being individuals, and they come together, and suddenly for a weekend it's about team play, and the Irish spirit is about team play, and I think that's what the European team do well too.
I was talking to several Irish golf writers here this week, and we were talking about women in sports, you know, whether they're athletes or in the media, and the Irish said that, you know, Ireland is really pushing women now. There's a campaign to really push women in sports media and to pay more attention to, you know, women athletes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as a minister of responsibility for sport, that is something I took the privilege of becoming minister, being appointed at the end of last June 2020. And one of the key issues for me was to tackle that equality in sport and to bring prominence and encourage young girls to get involved as well. Because unfortunately, it seems to happen in the teenage years that teenage girls fall away from involvement in sports. So we are doing our part as a government to encourage and support participation. And that's why the heroes like, you know, like Katie Taylor in boxing and Leona Maguire in golf are really important for young girls to see, and it's inspirational.
So I see there's a green button there. My radio audience can't see that, but talk a little bit about the campaign and the name of the campaign.
Yeah, so it's here launching in my visit here to the US, the Tourism Ireland's Green Button campaign. So the message is press the green button. We were saying to everyone in the US, press the green button, come to Ireland. We're open for tourism, and we can't wait to see you again. It'll be a multimedia campaign. It'll launch on September 27th, so you see it right across various media, and we would expect millions of US to see it in the coming weeks. So book your holiday. And actually, it can't be even, at the moment, it's so affordable. I heard yesterday that Chicago round trip to Dublin, so a direct flight, $359. So good value, and we're open, because by October 22nd we're in a very positive phase. I would say to everyone who's thinking of travelling, we're actually at 90% of our adult population is fully vaccinated, so it's a safe place to visit as well, and we're very proud of that. We're number one in the EU, so I think that is also, you know, when you talk about confidence in travelling, we're a safe place to visit. Our music is back, you know, you can hear traditional Irish music again, our festivals that we're famous for, our arts and culture, so open and waiting to welcome you.
How about your golf game? Do you have time to play with all your responsibilities? Can you get out on the links yourself?
Well, unfortunately, I'm an avid fan, and I haven't had time to take it up. I purchased a set of golf clubs last month because I'm such a fan that when and I love it so much that when I'm on my holidays with my family, I actually walk the courses with them because I enjoy it so much. So I've decided, right, that's it. I'm signing up, and I'm going to get my lessons and join the family, and I look forward to it.
Well, continued success, and we can't wait to get back to the Emerald Isle.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Catherine Martin, Minister for Tourism, Ireland. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Tom Coyne, best-selling author of A Course Called Ireland, A Course Called Scotland, and A Course Called America. And Tom is also the senior editor at the Golfer's Journal. It's so great to talk to you on Sports Interview, Tom.
And thanks so much for having me back. It's always great to talk with you. Great to see you. And it's been, you put all those titles together. There's a lot of course calls. And I've been around a bit, and it's great to, you know, this last year, be able to get out a little more and start traveling again. So thanks for having me on to talk about it.
Always great to talk to you. We did talk about your bestseller, A Course Called America, on my Talking Golf show on WFAN. And you were so nice to come to our charity golf event at the Maidstone Club to do a book signing. But today I'd like to talk to you about Ireland. And I understand that you went to Ireland this summer with none other than actor, comedian, golfer, Bill Murray. That must have been a blast.
It was pretty cool. And I'm not going to lie to you. It was not a bad trip. It was funny. We were watching. It was a trip that probably should have happened in 2020 and then COVID. And like everyone, you know, there were so many trips pushed back and pushed back again. And there was that sort of doubt of whether we were even going to travel this year or get to Ireland. So, you know, I was watching the news very closely. And Europe opens up, Ireland opens up, you know, if you have your COVID vaccine. And, so it looked like, you know, and we still went back and forth on should we go? And we just figured, you know, this was, let's go for it. And it was great that we did. It was one of those things. If you didn't go to Ireland now, then in 2022, there's a lot of backed up demand. Sure. And a lot of rescheduled tee times as well. So it was kind of one of those guys, you know, like, this would be a good time to go because it's not going to get any easier. Though we can certainly talk about where there are going to be spots to golf in Ireland in 2022. But it was awesome. It was certainly a challenge to plan. The Murrays are incredibly kind and generous and funny. And it wasn't just Bill. I'd spent a weekend with Bill and at Prairie Dunes while I was doing the America book, where the idea of doing an Ireland trip came up because he knew about my Ireland book and we were talking about Ireland. I said, you know, I can design a trip for you and your brothers and, you know, your sons and nephews and do a big Murray family trip in Ireland.
Sure.
And he was definitely interested in that. And as were all the brothers. So on the trip, we had Bill, Joel, Andy, Johnny, Brian Doyle Doyle Murray couldn't make it at the last minute. We also had Billy Collins, the U.S. poet laureate, is friends of the Murrays, and he was there as well. So it was quite a crew. A lot of them, you know, brought sons, and in total we were about 21 on the bus, 18 of the Murrays. So it was a pretty good crowd. And yeah, just great folks. I mean, the planning together, because Bill's obviously very busy and not terribly easy to get in touch with. And naturally, you know, everyone wants his time. And but he was very great, good about getting back to me about, yes, you know, about the planning. And it'd be good to go here, or maybe we'd like to go there. But honestly, he left most of it to me.
And you're so good at organizing these trips, because this is what you do. You spend months mapping out your itineraries before you write these books. And had he ever been to Ireland before, Bill Murray?
Yeah, they'd been before, and they'd done I think he'd done a little bit of Northern Ireland, and then, you know, the Southwest, which is where, you know, most Irish golf trips sort of head for the Southwest. And when I was talking to him about, like, you know, I'd like to take you up to Carn and Enniscrone and Rosapenna and do some different stuff that was definitely of interest to him and his brothers, you know, who'd been into the Southwest before as well. So the idea of being able to take them somewhere new was great. Yeah. And the planning was, it was a lot of fun, and mostly they just kind of left it to me. And it was one of those trips where I'm like, I'm going to be there at the airport. And if, you know, if when the bus is there, if they get on, they made it. If not, I guess we're not going. It was very much like, and with COVID too, it was a very much a last minute situation of like, I think this is going to happen, but I'm not really, I won't be really sure until balls are in the air, you know?
Nothing and, like winning it. That's television.
Yeah, exactly. So,
tell me about the itinerary.
Yeah. So we had a lot of help. My friend, Tom Kennedy at Experience Ireland Golf, helped put together the itinerary with me and booked some special experiences for the Murrays. Everyone wanted to do something special with them, whether it be a whiskey tasting or a visit to, you know, an oyster farm or something like that. We were able to do some of that stuff. Tourism Ireland was a supporter as well, which was wonderful. They were excited to have the Murrays in country and helping to sort of spread the message that, you know, Ireland is open again, you know.
The green button campaign.
The green button is
press
is,
the
hit
green,
that green button.
So
yeah, so we started off went from Dublin to Druid. We actually started Druid's Glen, which I'd never been to, and I'd never played. Like when I go to Ireland, I only play links courses, so
sure.
hadn't been to Druid's Glen. And
lovely, I've been there years ago. That's outside of Dublin, so
yeah. So it was sort of on our way as we moved west. It was absolutely beautiful. Super incredible welcome there. A great old manor house is the clubhouse. Just a really beautiful parkland golf course. And one of the highlights was the chef was this very nice, large Irishman. And he came out to meet us, and on his bicep, he had a very large tattoo of Bill Murray's face. And
It was an authentic tattoo.
100%. He had a lot of ink, and it's the frame picture of, like, I think Bill maybe smoking a cigarette. It's a very cool picture.
That is too funny.
Yeah. So he got to meet Bill, and we got some cool pictures of them together.
Oh my god!
So that kicked off the trip.
Are you sure
well.
It wasn't one of the kinds that you just kind of peel off when you don't want it anymore?
This guy was head to toe inked, so he even no funny tattoos for him.
He was tooted out.
Yeah, exactly. It was cool, and you know, from there, and we went to another place I hadn't been to before, to the Carton House.
Oh yeah,
which is stunning.
Really, it's
beautiful. Really beautiful. Two golf courses there. That it was one of those itineraries we tried to jam in a lot, because there were a lot of places saying we'd love to have you, and which was wonderful. And so, you know, we went from on the first day Druid's Glen in the morning, evening round at Carton House.
Oh, you played 36.
Yeah, and then we tried, and then in the morning, you know, some more before we had to run out. So it was pretty hectic. And from there, off to the West Coast.
So you went up to one of my favorite places, Belmallet, and played Corn. That was, it's just extraordinary. I know it's one of the last links courses designed by the infamous Eddie Hackett. What did your buddy Bill Murray think about Corn, and had he been there before?
No, none of the Murrays had been to Corn before, but I told him, I mean, this, I said, this is like my spot. This is my a place that I just feel at home. I love it there. I love Jerry Maguire and Fiona. Jerry Maguire, not from the movie, folks, but
they're so sweet, Jerry and Fiona, and they've been there forever. It's like I went there years ago, and they're still running the place. They're just lovely people.
It was really special. They are, and it was really special to be able to share Carn with the Murrays, and then in turn bring the Murrays out to Belmullet, which is about as remote a spot as you'll find in Ireland. So it wouldn't be every day that, you know, perhaps one of the most famous actors in the world would show up at their golf course. So it meant a lot to them, which was cool. Then the membership. And what was also cool is the, you know, as word of us being in Ireland spread, like the crowds would sort of get bigger and bigger. And I felt sort of the demands on Bill's time, or, you know, take a picture here, there, and the other were more and more, which he was wonderful about. What was cool at Carn, it was not that it was subdued, but it was just the members, you know, who would have been there on a Wednesday night and a couple other people. And we had a big dinner and, you know, everyone got up and made bold statements and grand toasts, as the Irish do.
Had a lot of crack.
There was crack and many thanks and hugs and love. And Bill made a speech and said, you know, we're all now joining all my brothers, we're going to join as life members.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Which means a lot to their bottom line at Carn.
Right.
So it was incredibly generous of them to do that. And so there was just a lot of love that night at Carn, and it's because of the people, but also, man, it's, you know, as you know, the golf course is just like nothing else on earth. It's
really, you know, fascinating. There's really, Eddie Hackett once said, you know, there'd be no better links course in the country. The landscape looks like, you know, a lunar kind of landscape, and you have the towering dunes and it's set on a peninsula overlooking, you know, the Atlantic coastline. It's just very different. I mean, I just, you know, you go from one links course to the other in Ireland and the next one is prettier than the one you just played, but this one is very unique, right? With the lunar landscape.
The dunes are just absolutely massive. And, the way that it was built, where they really couldn't move earth, you know, it's built on a very shoestring budget. You go through those dunes in just a really imaginative, natural way. It's very natural feeling. It's very raw. And it's very, it's just wild. It's when, you know, they call it the Wild Atlantic Way, and it is
right. Wild
golf. So yeah, when Bill was out, you know, everyone said the same thing. I've never seen anything like this. And you can go and see it and have a bad weather day and be like, oh, that wasn't for me, but it's certainly for me. And it was for the Murrays, which was great.
Yeah. And I still have a picture hanging up in my house, teeing off under like this gorgeous sunset, and we were doing a TV show there, and the camera was in the kind of foreground, and you know, it's just lovely. And people talk about the weather, and honestly, when every time I go, I mean, yeah, you might have a rain here or there, but I can't remember the last time we didn't have beautiful weather. And we go different times, whether it's May or July or September. So I guess it's just the luck of the Irish, right?
Well, they know Anne Ligori's coming, so they put out the good weather.
Mother Nature.
Not for me always, but.
Oh my gosh. Well, especially when you're shooting a TV show and you have the camera equipment out there, you can't have like, you know, major downfalls.
Yeah.
But so then I know you went to Inniscrone, which is another one of my favorites. It's 27 holes on 400 acres. And just, you have the bay there, you have the mountains providing just a gorgeous backdrop. What was it like at Inniscrone?
I mean, again, so for Carn and Inniscrone, you'd have like a 1-2, 1 or 1A of like biggest dunes. So, I mean, Inniscrone, some of the holes, particularly on the back nine, you just get into some awesome, you know, you just look around and they're literally skyscraping sand hills around you, which is just so much fun. The welcome at Inniscrone is always great. It's a great little functional, useful clubhouse. That's just very sort of cozy and wonderful. And we enjoyed ourselves in there for sure. And the folks came out and Bill was great with everyone. And, we just had, you know, again, more fun, but it's a similar place, you know, another place where it was the first place I played in Ireland. And I love going back there. It's near where my family came from. And so Keith, who runs things there, is such a great host. And that was a big thumbs up as well from the Murray crew.
And did you stay at Mount Falcon when you played in Inniscrone? Alan is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, the owner of Mount Falcon. I'm sure you had a great time there, and what a great wine bar.
Alan
or wine
and,
cellar.
Well, Alan and Bill were thick as thieves. I'll tell you that much. As you can imagine, two big person. Well, Alan, a very big, literally, he's kind of a big dude, but a big embracing personality. The guy is just like, he's just like a big hug and such a wonderful host. So yeah, there was no way we were going out that way without staying at Mount Falcon. It was probably the only place we stayed two nights. It's such a great place to stop and then go out to Carn and Enniscrone and Ross's Point and you know, if you're doing that trip, you have to stay at the Mount Falcon. What was great is that, you know, it was COVID, so they built this sort of outdoor tent, huge, like circus tent sized.
Wow.
And under that tent, they had this outdoor grill where the chefs were all cooking outdoors as well. And every night was a different theme, but mostly, you know, like a barbecue night or a steak night or whatever. So you'd sit outside under the stars or under the tent. They would have live music every night. And we had such a blast. I mean, they had this great sort of jazz funk band, you know, playing great singers. And of course, the Murrays end up on the stage in the show and everyone's going crazy. And that was an absolute highlight.
How much fun. And this kind of fun, I mean, you can be with anybody and do this every night after your round of golf and after dinner, right? You just get up, you go to either the resort, you know, bar or the pub, and, you know, one person sings. And what I love about, you know, the Irish is, you know, somebody gets up to sing and everybody is quiet and lets that person, you know, have the floor. And then, you know, if he wants you to join in or she, you know, you join in, but people are just so musically talented over there, and they just treasure their music and the song and the dance. And God, you can't help but have a great time after golf. I mean,
yeah,
it's just impossible not to have crack and have fun, right? What about Donegal? So you went to Donegal, and you know, when you go to Donegal, you really feel, you know, a real sense of history there. It's located on the Murva Peninsula, another design by Eddie Hackett, and Pat Ruddy, one of my favorite characters in Ireland, he redesigned it. So it's another, and this is a long course, so Donegal is always one of my favorites.
It's a fun one. That was a good, we were originally, like, our itinerary started moving around a little bit as we realized I've got these guys on the bus for way too long. And everything was on Murray time, which meant we were always about 2 hours behind schedule because there were just whether people to talk to or things to sign or whatever. So it was great that we, instead of going all the way up to, we didn't get all the way up to the course we were supposed to that day, but got to Murva and had an absolute blast. They were happy to accommodate us, and it's just that's a fun course too. I mean, great, like you said, Eddie Hackett and Pat Ruddy, you can't go wrong there.
And then Rosapenna, you have Tom Doakes, I heard, just redid the St. Patrick Lynx course. I haven't been up there to play it yet, but they have the old Tom Morris, Sandy Hills. I mean, just so much variety. I mean, you know, how do you pick which ones to play when you only have a limited amount of time and all those people?
Well, that's what, you know, when we got to Rosapenna, and it was my first time back since the third course opened now, because they have an old Tom Morris course, a Pat Ruddy course, the Sandy, and then the Doak course, which the St. Patrick's Links. And, you know, I'm convinced now that, you know, golfers on your first trip, yes, the Southwest of Ireland, hit the big names, etc. But I think a lot of people are going to start looking at the Northwest now too, because to have, you know, between what they have at Rosapenna, what they have at Nairn and Port New, now what they have at Port Salon, Ballyliffin, there's so much going on in Donegal. And to have those three courses with a 4-star hotel attached to it, you just don't have that anywhere else in Ireland where you can actually drop out for 4 days and just play different golf every day. And Doak did an extraordinary job. The course is an absolute blast to play. It's one of the more fun golf courses you play in Ireland.
So did you need a vacation when you were done with your vacation?
And it was, and I felt, I mean, there were points where I just felt, I kind of felt badly for the crew, and they were sports, because, and they brought, you know, not all, there weren't all spring chickens either. So to be dragging everyone to, another round, but no complaints. Everyone had such a good time. It really couldn't have gone better. You know, the golf and the hospitality and the way we were treated, which I knew we would, because, you know, I knew it would go that way, because golf trips in Ireland, as much time and as ink as I've spent trying to talk about how great they are, it doesn't really capture it. You have to go experience it for yourself.
You definitely have to. And it's just, it's my favorite golf destination, bar none. Everybody asks me, what's your favorite course? Well, when I say Ireland, you know, a course called Ireland, basically, is my favorite course, right? Because there's just so many over there that I would consider, you know, my top golf courses. Tom, always a pleasure to talk to you. Continued success. And it was just a lot of fun just kind of reliving your adventure with the Murrays. What a great week or two.
Thank you, Anne. Yeah, thanks so much. Great speaking with you.
Take care. Tom Coyne.
The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast was brought to you by IB Cole Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit IBKOL.com to learn more. My thanks to Catherine Martin, Allison Metcalf, Tom Coyne, and to My Good Sound Production. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Be nice, be kind, be safe, and may the road rise up to meet you. I'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.